key or the code on January 21st. That's how they're getting around it.
Mm-hmm. Say that again?
The people who are doing the short-term rentals will give you a lease for January 1st to January 30th for $3,000 for the weekly rental of the fourth week of January. And on the third week of January, they give you the code to get into the house. So they're giving you a 30-day contract, but only giving you access to the house for 1 week.
All you have to do is go on to any of these rental platforms, and you can see visually when you check in to see whether or not someone is renting short-term. They'll have a weekend checked off that they're not available, then they'll be closed off again, and then they'll have another week checked off, and they'll be closed again. So it's visually clear when you go into those platforms to see. And my understanding,
from an evidentiary standpoint, I understand what you're saying, but understand from a prosecuting attorney standpoint, that evidence is hearsay. And so in code enforcement, we cannot rely on hearsay. We're allowed to introduce it. Unlike in a court where we wouldn't even be able to get it in front of the judge, we can introduce it. We just can't rely on it to prove our case. We have to have more. So often what you'll see Dave doing is he'll do some tracking of a property. Here's the advertising, but that's not proof that alone can get us to the finish line. Here's the vehicles coming and going. Here's the other things to supplement that.
Well, to that point then, I mean, can't we... I do know that Airbnb and VRBO, a lot of those platforms are now coming around and they're working with municipalities with privacy agreements with the municipality where they will release data information as to what the addresses are that are actually on those particular platforms, on their platforms, so that the municipalities are aware as to who is actually presenting themselves as a short-term rental, because that's a non-compliance. The or states you are in non-compliance. It's not an and, it's an or. So based on that language, the Airbnb and VRBO or TripAdvisor, any one of these sites, they're willing now to work with municipalities and provide an agreement, a privacy agreement, where they will share the background data information of those addresses. There are also softwares now that I know that Cocoa Beach is using, Provide Beach is using, where they're able to provide the address information so at least we're aware as to what's happening out there. That's where I'm coming from. So we are aware that sometimes when these issues come up, that there is this issue occurring and that some of these are investors. They're not our neighbors. They're investors who are here in the city to make an income off of our city, and they're not here as our neighbors. And that's what I think we should all be aware of, that not everyone we're dealing with in this industry anymore is our next-door neighbor. It's a renter. It's Marriott Corporation. And how do we protect our city and the quality of life that we all bought into here.
You don't. Remember this legislation.
Yeah.
Every single year they made it worse for us every year. I don't see it changing.
Dave, isn't Travis managing that rental?
He is. And to Ms. Richards, just to answer a couple questions for you, those internet platforms, we actually had one before we hired Mr. Mincy. We did it for about 2 years, and we found out that we were actually better than the platform itself.
Okay. We're not surprised.
one of the, you know, they would call like every month and going, we found 410 rentals in Ponce Inlet. And we go, okay, well, that's great, but we have 450.
But that's a lot.
In our platform that we have. Yeah. And then our dialogue would be like, here's some that we cannot find, because what the owners were doing, because you can drop a pin, right, to say this is where you are, they were dropping their pin in the ocean.
Yes.
Because they knew, right? So you would have pictures of, say, like the towers. Well, they're all green on from the outside, right? And they don't show the address. So now try to figure out that building out of 9, because the pin's in the middle of the ocean.
Right.
Right. So that was what we came so. So we realized that it would be better for us to hire somebody in-house to help that. And that's what we did. And we've actually found more rentals than what we had since Travis has been here.
Okay. And has the city investigated those softwares? I came across
We have.
Two of which, okay.
We've actually reached out to VRBO and Airbnb to ask if we can get some of their information, and it's up the chain. It's up the chain. We'll get you somebody that can get you that question, and we haven't heard anything back. So.
Okay. I came across two companies, one called Deckard Technologies and another one called Rental
State. Deckard, yep.
Deckard, I guess, is what Brevard County is looking into. I don't have any real particulars or any background on any of those types of softwares, but I'm not even a software.
They all use the same platform. The big one, the one that we had was Rental Something, which is now Granicus.
Escape.
Rental Escape, yeah, which is now Granicus, recently purchased them last year, and Deckard Technologies. Those are the two biggest, but it's the they pretty much just married the same thing. So,
have you considered using those software?
No.
Okay.
It just wasn't cost effective for us. It was.
Okay.
We realized it went to town council, and they said we want to get a better hold. So that's why they brought on Mr. Mincy and the administrative assistant, because it was more of a pass through ordinance. It didn't cost the town anything because the rates from that ordinance paid for those positions. That's why the rental rate went from 125 to 500.
Okay, well, can we go around, or is there a way to at least get the permit numbers onto the advertising platforms without violating the grandfathering?
It's not so much that. The concern there is not so much violating the grandfathering. Remember, the First Amendment includes the right not to speak. And so whenever we get into telling somebody you have to include something on advertising, we're potentially inviting a First Amendment lawsuit.
Okay. Okay. Well, that was all. I'm sorry to take up everyone's time, but I just thought it was something we should all be thinking about.
It's a great conversation.
Thank you, Lynn.
Yeah, it was a great conversation.
Before we move on here, I'd like to welcome Karen Raj to the board. She was at the last meeting. She was named to the board to replace Joe Young.
Alternate two.
Alternate two. Welcome to the board. And we have item 11B, code enforcement activity for the year ending 2023.
Yes, sir. So every year, as you know, we just go through some highlighted numbers for you. So this is our activity from 2023. We generated 810 cases in this small little city. 27 of those were referred to this board. So our overall compliance rate was at 96.7.
Can you stay? I don't want you to move that slide yet. I'm sure you already recognize, I don't need to say it, but that is an amazing number, and that is a credit to your code enforcement staff. Absolutely.
100%. Thank you. Leading cases for 2023, recreational vehicles, work without a permit, rental permit violations, watering violations, right-of-way violations. Those are just some of the most common ones that we deal with on a daily basis. Code enforcement board action, again, 27 cases, or 3.3% of all these cases came to you. One of those was a repeat violator. Outstanding liens, these are the ones that are currently outstanding. The ones in yellow are the non-homesteaded parcels. Overall outstanding lien amount is $279,000, which is owed by the town currently. And these are the liens that we've collected over the years since 2017. If we get here to this slide, this is the ones that we've collected this year. And overall, we've collected almost $161,000. It was $160,800 over the years of outstanding liens. Year-by-year comparisons, you can see our compliance rate is going up every year, with the exception of the couple in the middle there, and that was due to Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane whatever came after Matthew that one year, which we had those back-to-back, so we laid off enforcement. But overall compliance rate over the last 7 years is a 95.88% compliance rate. I want to thank this board because that's part of you as well. Word is getting out that anytime we come here, there's an admin fee as well added, and $250 is a lot of money for people. So that's a thank you for that. And just thank the staff and support of council and everything. This is, I asked my peers what compliance rates are in their cities, and it's roughly 75 to 80%. So fortunate to be where we are here. And with that, the only last thing I have is not on the agenda. I want to introduce you to the new planning development director, Darren Lear. He comes from us from the city of Edgewater. He's been there 24 years. So we're lucky to have him. He's local, so he knows the county, he knows Ponce Inlet. So it's been a seamless transition for him. So, and that's it.
Welcome. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. And that's it. That's all I have.
All right. Thank you. Next meeting date is Monday, February 26th. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting. Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.